trying to prevent another global meltdown.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this Wednesday morning. Today, China offered some support to a U.S. plan to build a more balanced global economy. The proposal would shrink surpluses in big exporting countries such as China and boost savings in nations with big debt such as the United States. This comes as world leaders get ready to meet in Pittsburgh tomorrow for the Group of 20 Nations conference. Ahead of that, the EU, the European Union, today unveiled a plan to overhaul the way banks and financial markets are overseen. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us from London to talk about it. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's all this in a nutshell?
Well, this really is designed to remedy what was seen as the major problem in Europe, which aggravated the credit crunch and the financial crisis. That is a lack of coordination between the regulators and the institutions within each of the 27 member states. So what this draft plan today proposes is a series of Europe-wide bodies to monitor and reduce financial risk. I mean, there is, for example, a risk board which will try to spot problems like the credit crunch before they actually blow up into a crisis and try and head them off. And also there'll be regulatory bodies looking Europe-wide at the banks, the insurers, and the financial exchanges.
Now, Stephen, this is proving quite controversial, especially in Britain. Why?
Well, Britain has always jealously guarded its financial centre. It is the biggest in Europe and the most profitable. It's always very suspicious of moves from continental Europe to control its financial centre. And these bodies are going to have Europe-wide powers. I mean, a European regulator is going to be able to tell a national regulator the action he should take. So the Brits are likely, for example, to insist that some of these boards have a very strong British representation on them. For example, the deputy chairmanship, say, of the risk board might be given to the governor of the Bank of England, Mervyn King.
So this obviously isn't a done deal. I mean, what happens next, Stephen?
Well, it has to be agreed by all 27 governments and also by the European Parliament. But the European Commission says this is a bold idea, an important blueprint, and it is taking it to the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh to present to other world leaders as a global blueprint, a model for what might be established globally to prevent financial crises from developing in the future.
Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's check numbers. European markets are slightly higher right now, about 0.5% or less. Shares in Asia closed mostly lower today. The Hang Seng shed about 0.5%. In China, the benchmark there lost about 2%. Wall Street yesterday, some gains. The S&P was up 0.7%, the NASDAQ about 0.4%, and the Dow closed up 51 points at 98.29, the highest close in almost a year. World environmental leaders are meeting at the United Nations this week trying to hammer out a global climate change agreement. But here in the United States, there's a growing split in the business community over what to do about greenhouse gas pollution. A major utility company has withdrawn from the Chamber of Commerce to protest that business lobby's environmental policies. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
California's Pacific Gas and Electric says it has fundamental differences with the Chamber of Commerce over global warming. The chamber is lobbying against a congressional cap on carbon dioxide emissions and has threatened to take the EPA to court over its authority to regulate air pollution. The chamber, along with other business groups like the National Association of Manufacturers, argue that government limits on greenhouse gases will raise energy prices and cause shortages that will harm the economy. PG&E is only the latest of a growing number of companies to criticize the business lobby groups. Companies like Nike, Johnson & Johnson, and Duke Energy support either a cap or a tax on carbon pollution. The House has approved a cap on greenhouse gases, and Senate leaders want to take up their version sometime this winter. A spokesman for the chamber wouldn't comment on PG&E's decision. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Ford unveiled a new compact car today overseas. The Figo means cool in Italian, but India will get first dibs. The four-door is expected to sell for under 10 grand. There are also plans to export the car to other Asian countries. Ford's push into Asia is part of the vision of CEO Alan Mulally. Mulally also said today the U.S. car market was looking good and that he expects sales to increase.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Just this hour, General Mills reported a higher-than-expected quarterly profit. The maker of Chex, Häagen-Dazs, and Totino's was helped by strong sales in the United States and lower commodity costs. Yesterday, Conagra reported profits that beat analyst expectations as well. As Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, food companies are giving us a sense of how the economy's doing.
Why are food producers doing well in this economy? The short answer is it costs less to buy what it takes for companies to make the food. Mark McMinimy follows agribusiness for Concept Capital's Washington Research Group.
We are seeing commodity prices that are dramatically lower than they were a year ago in many cases.
And when they were at their high, says Morningstar analyst Aaron Swanson, companies raised the prices of their products for consumers. Now those prices remain high, even though commodities have come down. But Swanson says there's something else playing into the earnings at General Mills and Conagra. Price-conscious consumers want brand-name products.
They want to be getting a good value for their money. A lot of times they turn to brands that they can trust.
And with more Americans eating at home these days, well-known brands from Conagra's Healthy Choice to General Mills' Wheaties stand to benefit. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Finally, if work is war, that office supply closet is defense contractor. Wired magazine reports the guy who designed ammo for G.I. Joe and Star Wars toys is behind a guide to make office firepower. It's called Mini Weapons of Mass Destruction, Build Implements of Spitball Warfare. Plastic ruler, rubber band, and ballpoint pen, call yourself William Tell. Paper towel tube, duct tape, hairspray, and lighter. Something no worker should be on the other side of. Naturally, the book advises caution. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.